Side 4. 100 Years of Solitude by Gabriel Garcia Marquez. Continuing on page 128. With the imminence of defeat, some women went into the street armed with sticks and kitchen knives. In that confusion, Arcadio found Amaranta, who was looking for him like a madwoman, in her nightgown and with two old pistols that had belonged to José Arcadio Buendía. He gave his rifle to an officer who had been disarmed in the fight and escaped with Amaranta through a nearby street to take her home. Úrsula was in the doorway waiting, indifferent to the cannon shots that had opened up a hole in the front of the house next door. The rain was letting up, but the streets were as slippery and as smooth as melted soap, and one had to guess distances in the darkness. Arcadio left Amaranta with Úrsula and made an attempt to face two soldiers who had opened up with heavy firing from the corner. The old pistols that had been kept for many years in the bureau did not work. Protecting Arcadio with her body, Úrsula tried to drag him toward the house. "Come along in the name of God," she shouted at him. "There's been enough madness." The soldiers aimed at them. "Let go of that man, ma'am," one of them shouted, "or we won't be responsible." Arcadio pushed Úrsula toward the house and surrendered. A short time later, the shooting stopped and the bells began to toll. The resistance had been wiped out in less than half an hour. Not a single one of Arcadio's men had survived the attack. But before dying, they had killed 300 soldiers. The last stronghold was the barracks. Before being attacked, the supposed Colonel Gregorio Stevenson had freed the prisoners and ordered his men to go out and fight in the street. The extraordinary mobility and accurate aim with which he placed his 20 cartridges gave the impression that the barracks was well defended, and the attackers blew it to pieces with cannon fire. The captain who directed the operation was startled to find the rubble deserted and a single dead man in his undershorts with an empty rifle still clutched in an arm that had been blown completely off. He had a woman's full head of hair held at the neck with a comb, and on his neck a chain with a small gold fish. When he turned him over with the tip of his boot and put the light on his face, the captain was perplexed. "Jesus Christ!" he exclaimed. Other officers came over. "Look where this fellow turned up," the captain said. "It's Gregorio Stevenson." At dawn, after a summary court-martial, Arcadio was shot against the wall of the cemetery. In the last 2 hours of his life, he did not manage to understand why the fear that had tormented him since childhood had disappeared. Impassive, without even worrying about making a show of his recent bravery, he listened to the interminable charges of the accusation. He thought about Úrsula, who at that hour must have been under the chestnut tree having coffee with José Arcadio Buendía. He thought about his 8-month-old daughter, who still had no name, and about the child who was going to be born in August. He thought about Santa Sofia de la Piedad, whom he had left the night before salting down a deer for next day's lunch. And he missed her hair pouring over her shoulders and her eyelashes, which looked as if they were artificial. He thought about his people without sentimentality, with a strict closing of his accounts with life, beginning to understand how much he really loved the people he hated most. The president of the court-martial began his final speech when Arcadio realized that 2 hours had passed. "Even if the proven charges did not have merit enough," the president was saying, "the irresponsible and criminal boldness with which the accused drove his subordinates on to a useless death would be enough to deserve capital punishment." In the shattered schoolhouse where for the first time he had felt the security of power, a few feet from the room where he had come to know the uncertainty of love, Arcadio found the formality of death ridiculous. Death really did not matter to him, but life did. And therefore the sensation he felt when they gave their decision was not a feeling of fear, but of nostalgia. He did not speak until they asked him for his last request. "Tell my wife," he answered in a well-modulated voice, "to give the girl the name of Úrsula. He paused and said it again. Ursula, like her grandmother. And tell her also that if the child that is to be born is a boy, they should name him José Arcadio, not for his uncle,